Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, can you believe it is episode 141? Whoa, were you being the chef from The Muppets?
I was. I watched Muppets Now this week, so I've got a Swedish chef back in my brain.
I've got a few songs from Umbrella Academy.
Nice. There's some good needle drops in that.
It's a nice little soundtrack that they've dipped in and out. We'll give you our impressions of the second season of Umbrella Academy a little bit later on. I've got a quiz for you.
Oh, nice. I was hoping so.
I almost forgot what we were doing, but I've got a little bit of news as well.
Sweet. I've got some news too and a couple of trailers and, as always, now... a Tom appreciation segment.
I love the Tom appreciation segment.
I think it's a good one today. It's a little bit...
Looking forward to learning more about a Tom. Do you want to kick off the news?
Sure. There's so much of it. One that's got me pretty amped is apparently there's some setup happening at the moment for the Shang-Chi Marvel film out in Western Sydney. They've been building large blue screens that they set up by day and then dismantle at night.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Also, that's giving people jobs.
That's right. Correct. So they're doing some stuff at Fox Studios and everything, and it looks like they'll be resuming production on that properly, fully, pretty soon.
Fantastic.
Obviously new safety measures and stuff, but that is a huge boon for Sydney.
Yeah, that's great.
Very excited.
I don't think I've heard about it for a little bit, so that's really good. I mean, you've probably been keeping your eye out
a bit more. They were a week off starting to film when everything got shut down.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
It happened to a lot of...
That's right. So all the people involved are kind of are already here or are coming in and are self-quarantining once they arrive. I think they'll probably be that whole bubble setup.
Yeah, which I think is what a lot of different countries are doing in terms of production, TV and film production.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's a model that makes sense. So
yeah,
why not?
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. There's been a lot of activity and excitement around the gazebo this week with preparations underway for the Great Juggling Fundraiser. Organisers have set up different areas for competitors depending on what they'll be juggling. Balls, bowling pins, frisbees and plastic rings will be in one section. Those of you who are juggling artistic ideas will have your own independent tree trunks to lean against so you can ponder quietly. If you're one of the brave individuals who have chosen to juggle your children's extracurricular activities, you will be given all the space you need. All proceeds will go to Spinning Plates Academy, who are short on sticks. Rhonda Sutherland has a renewed interest in cooking now that reruns of the UK Ready Steady Cook are back on TV. She says that Ainsley Harriott is quite possibly the greatest host ever because he can do it all. Cook, interview the competitors and give time calls. Rhonda has promised to tape every episode, so if people would like to attend her rewatch parties, they are more than welcome. A date has been set for the great debate concerning which Back to the Future Marty McFly should be immortalised in bronze out the front of the council chambers. The first Tuesday of next month, just after dinner time, will be your chance to have your say. Best get there early as it's expected to draw quite the crowd. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We had a little bit of news about Scream 5 a couple of months ago where there was talk that David Arquette had signed up.
Dewey Cox.
And I just assumed that was everybody had, but no, because now they've announced the second person to sign up again, which is Courtney Cox. She'll be playing the reporter. What was her name again?
Gail.
Gail, that's right. Do you remember that weird fringe she had for one of them? That was a... bold choice. Also, Neve Campbell is in talks, which means she's probably trying to get a bit more money, but I'm surprised that she hasn't already been signed up.
Well, she was back for 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it made as huge an impact as they were hoping. So maybe it's not necessarily following her character.
Maybe her character is going to be a bit of the Drew Barrymore character. Imagine if they did that in the beginning.
I don't think they could do that to her. I don't think they can take her out.
Too far in?
You're not allowed to take Sydney out.
Yeah.
That's like you can't actually kill Jamie Lee Curtis in the Halloween films.
Absolutely.
They've tried.
Yeah.
And it seemed to stick, but it didn't stick. You can't take out Laurie Strode.
Also, that last movie, people loved her. Absolute. That was, she was the shining light. Yeah. So, yeah, okay, that makes sense. What else have you found this week?
So it's kind of old news, but it keeps coming back up, but it's looking more and more likely. So we know Space Jam 2 is well into production coming along, and it's a Warner Brothers production. So there's been all these, who are the bad guys going to be? Because in the first one, the bad little aliens, known as the Monstars, steal the talents from great basketball players. Well, apparently in this one, the Monstars, or whoever the villains are going to take on the forms of villains from Warner Brothers films.
That's cool.
So there was some photos that have floated around for the last few months, but it looks like we've got more confirmation on various things, one of which is Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a cartoon version of Pennywise in a children's film playing basketball against the Looney Tunes.
They will not get the references, but the parents will.
Joker.
That was my question. I was ready to ask that.
And the referee is the Mask, and they've got Jim Carrey back.
No way, that's awesome.
This is why I'm bringing the news up. We've seen really these images for a bit, but Bill Skarsgård has come back on for Pennywise. He's going to be it. They haven't said which Joker will be. It looks like it could be Leto, like visually the one.
Yeah,
the image
I mean
I've
that
seen.
Would make sense. I mean,
not the ideal one, but they can't have Joaquin.
They can't.
That's not appropriate for a kids' movie.
It's really
but
not.
But yeah, getting Jim Carrey in as the Mask. That's so good, and the Mask fits that universe so well.
Oh, and it's just going to be fun to have Jim Carrey going back to something that he's so iconic for.
That's right. Look, and it's not live action. Those characters aren't live action. They will be cartoons that he will voice. So it could just be that he's in it for a minute or something like that. Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
I think that's awesome.
Oh, that's really fun. That's great news.
Yes.
Look, I spoke about it a few weeks ago. Money Heist, I finally started watching the Spanish Netflix program, otherwise known as La Casa de Papel. They said last week are doing a part 5 and that will be the end. Absolutely the end of the show, which is amazing that it's gotten 5 series. Well, they call them parts, but they're basically series.
Sure.
Because you would think that it's a little bit like Prison Break, I thought of. I thought of this later after I had a chat to you about it on whatever episode podcast we were talking about it on, in that they're in the mint trying to get the money, like trying to print money.
Mm-hmm.
They've got they've got hostages. But then when they get out, that's kind of like Prison Break.
Sure.
So that's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit. So the final series will be shot in Spain, obviously, Denmark and Portugal. And there's going to be 10 episodes and they're starting this week production.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so that's really exciting.
Very nice. Well, that's good that there's more content coming. Always happy to see that. More content that I was really stoked to see. Andy Daly, he played Forrest McNeil, who is the critic of Real Life Situations as the host of Review. I, of course, have talked about this show till I'm blue in the face over the years. It wrapped up a couple of years ago. He brought the character back this week.
Oh, really?
With a 9-minute, one-take, amazing thing of just him filming in a park. Forrest believes the show is still going.
Okay.
So the end of season 3, he refused. The show got cancelled.
Mm.
And earlier he'd had to review what's it like to be pranked.
Mm.
So he was convinced he was still being pranked. So this...
It's a long prank.
This, him returning was basically him begging his friends to end the prank because it's not funny during a pandemic. But here's some of the things that he's been reviewing. Anyway, the fourth one that he gets to is what's it like to keep bats and pangolins?
Mm.
And it turns out that he wasn't able to get a bat in America, so he'd traveled to China and had spent some time there researching. Anyway, Forrest is responsible for COVID.
Great.
And this thing is great. If you've enjoyed the character at all before, if you want a little chuckle, go and see it because it's a man completely unraveled. He's having a great time. He's having great difficulty self-isolating now that he's basically homeless and has to share with 9 people.
Right, okay.
It's a whole thing.
And this is all condensed into a nine minute one take.
Yeah, it's just, wow. The guy's an improv master, yeah. And he can disappear into a character so well. And I've read interviews with him where he said that he would love, like his dream, he would love to be do an Alan Partridge and be able to take that character and put it in a different format.
Mm.
I would happily watch him play this guy for the rest of his life.
Maybe this was him sort of workshopping.
I could see it very much. And like maybe he's testing the water as to what his permissions around character usage are and this sort of thing. But I'm all for this. I would happily watch online reviews from him with no budget.
So it was just on YouTube or something?
Yep. And it's clearly him just filming it on a camera.
Awesome.
Or like on a camera phone, which makes sense with Forrest. He doesn't have the camera crew and everything anymore. So he found all these in-universe reasons for why it looks the way it does.
Why it's as easy as it is.
So clever.
That's really cool.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Leonardo DiCaprio's production company, Appian Way, has signed with Apple TV for a first look deal for film and TV series. Now, they've already got, there's a movie there, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's the one that he's going to be doing with Scorsese.
Right.
That Apple paid like $200 million for, like a ridiculous amount. But they're also the series Shining Girls is in the works at Apple. Shining Girls is the first TV series that his production company have done. So obviously Apple's very happy with the deal.
Yep.
And wanted to get the first look going. I'm pretty sure Shining Girls has Elizabeth Moss in it.
I think that's right. I saw something with that, yeah.
Pretty sure that's what it is. But his production company is not a new thing. Like it's had deals with Paramount, Warner Brothers. I mean, they've done National G documentaries, which makes sense because, you know, he does like a good doco, but it's done Wolf of Wall Street, at The Aviator, even back to Shutter Island days. So it's been around for a very long time, and this looks like a deal that works out very well for Apple, I think.
Sure.
To have that kind of production company and that kind of caliber of actor getting on board with them.
It's kind of going a different direction to what they were, you know, you chase someone like a J.J. Abrams because he's a universe builder. Well, you get someone like Leo's company, they make star vehicles for Leo.
That's right. And he's got an Oscar.
He's got an Oscar, but his stuff is always well received.
Well received, often quite different.
Yeah, but like critics always appreciate Leo's stuff. Audience always appreciate it, even if it's not a huge commercial success.
True.
It's always got clout, and I think that's what Apple seems to be really going for.
Yeah, they're also – they're not doing any R stuff, are they, R-rated? It's all a little more – not family-friendly, but
not to the extent of Disney, but yes.
Yeah, they're sort of somewhere in the middle of Disney and Netflix. Because Netflix are a little more comfortable with some more risque stuff.
What we would consider back in the day, SBS at night.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect analogy.
Some boobs from Europe.
That's right. What else have you found this week?
A couple of new renewals and stuff, which is great. So Doctor Who has been renewed for seasons 14 and 15.
Awesome.
Season 13 is still coming, so that is a long time with Jodie Whittaker and Chris I can't remember. Something like that. Anyway, lots more Doctor Who coming. AP Bio season 3.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm very excited for. Glenn Howerton's show as the teacher. Everybody shut up. It's the best teacher on television. Season 3 is coming on September 4th to Stan here in Australia, which is
cool.
Great. I believe it's only on Peacock in the States.
Okay.
It was one of those shows that got cancelled at the end of season 3. Fan outrage and stuff got it back for another season, but digitally streamed only. I'm amped. The kids in that show are amazing. Yes. More, please.
That means you're going to have to get Stan now.
I'm sure it'll be on iTunes or something. I'll find it somewhere. I think Stan comes with it, doesn't it? Maybe bundled on the Apple.
I can't
Apple
remember.
TV apps. I don't know. I think I've watched Stan once by a mistake.
I know a lot of people who have Stan, and they watch a lot on it. So
is it 10? Is Stan 10?
I think it's that one that is 10 and somebody else, like 10 and 9 or 10 and 7. I feel like it's the one that's got a couple of station channels.
I feel like we should know this.
I think we should know.
I think this falls in the realm of things we should be aware of. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out. Anyway, but from the things that we weren't aware of before, but now that I am glad we are aware of, so Marvel's Avengers game is coming soon on PS4 and Xbox. Now, this is surprising, but I'm considering waiting for the next-gen consoles to play it on that.
Okay, that's fair enough. They're not that far off.
The reason being, let me. Here's why I'm so torn. Like, I'm really keen. Last week, they revealed that Hawkeye is the first DLC character that you'll be able to play as him. He has side missions and his own stories and stuff. And then this morning, just before we've gone to air, they revealed that PlayStation gets Spidey as an exclusive.
Of course they do, because they're Sony. That makes sense.
So I was all set up to play on the Xbox because I've got the Xbox One, all nice.
Yep.
All set up with the TV and everything. But now, like, do I get it on Xbox and start playing? Because I will be getting the PS5 over the Xbox
Series X or whatever it's called. Like, the names are all.
Because of Spider-Man.
So the PlayStation you have now, is that sort of like the original PlayStation 4? It's not the Pro?
No. So
it might chug a bit, potentially. I don't know.
But either way, I could start playing on that because I figure you can use that copy to transfer over to PS5, I think. I don't know, but I've got some soul searching to do here as to what I'm going to do because I don't know. I'm very excited for this game. It's the first console game I've been excited for in quite some time.
This is the one that they don't have the likenesses of the actors, right? So they've gotten big voice actors like your Troy Baker and Nolan North or those kind of people, but it's not Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland.
No.
Yeah.
I would wager that you've probably got Fred Tradasciore. My tongue's tied today. Like the guy that always voices Hulk, he'll be Hulk.
Yeah, right. You might have like a Laura Bailey kind of.
Your regular.
Yeah.
The people you would
What's
expect.
What's her name? Ashley Birch? Is she is Horizon Zero Dawn?
You should know that.
I should know. No, I can picture her face. She's Ashley someone.
Oh, in a few weeks you should tell us about the Horizon Dawn comics.
Yes, I will. You reminded me that it's coming up. Mm. I think this week I should get it.
I think tomorrow issue one comes out, and then I think it might only be 3 weeks till issue two, something like that, rather than a full month.
I'm excited to live in that world in graphic novel form.
More story is more story.
That's right.
When you've got a lovely universe like that, enjoy it.
Mm.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So a while ago I mentioned that Netflix has a new animated, well, it's like CG animated, teen or youth series called Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous.
This sounded awesome, by the way.
It does sound awesome. And I was wondering where it would fall because, there's a Lego Jurassic World series and that is very, very kiddie. Well, the first trailer for this dropped the other day and it's a little more teenager than I was expecting. These kids get properly hunted. So basically they're on a youth camp on the other side of the island while the events of Jurassic World take place.
Okay.
So while everyone else is being hunted in huge crowds and trying to get off the island and stuff, this is six kids presumably separated from the camp counselor and this sort of stuff, escaping through the various pens trying to get back. So essentially they're doing the journey that the kids did with Sam Neill in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
But without Sam Neill guiding the way.
Fantastic.
You know one of the kids is going to be a nerdy bookworm,
mm-hmm.
have all the information.
Yeah, they can have all the info, but the cool kid's not going to let him speak her.
There's going to be an athletic one.
Yes.
Maybe have to do some gymnastics to kick a raptor. There'll be some great shout-outs. So I believe it's about six episodes or something like that. It looks pretty good.
But, I mean, they're telling one particular story, so I can understand the fact that it's not going to be super long.
That's right.
So this is – okay, so if it's more teenage than you thought, because how old Shay now?
Shay is enticed by this.
Is she?
And suddenly she wants to watch Jurassic Park because she's had slight interest and I've been like, I don't know, it's a bit scary.
Yeah.
Whereas the other day I was like, it's pretty scary. And she's like, I think I'm ready, Dad. I'm like, look, heads up, people get eaten. She said, what do you mean? I'm like dinosaurs run up and just chomp them and they're gone. She's like, cool.
Really? Like, that's not what I thought she would react. No. Okay.
So we'll give it a try. We'll give the first one a try. And if she enjoys that, then we'll check out this Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous and come back and let you know.
So it's just sitting on Netflix.
That's right. Sitting on Netflix. And the other one that I'll watch soon, this is a new Disney Channel movie called like Magic Unite or Wizards Unite or something like that.
Like a Harry Potter kind of thing.
It sounds exactly like Harry Potter, but kids thing, and the same production company as Descendants and Zombies
so
too.
It's gonna look good.
It's gonna look good. Shay's gonna like it. It's gonna have some good songs and stuff.
Mm.
Stay tuned for that. But I'm just giving a shout out because so many people are stuck at home with the kids. There you go. It's another kids recommendation for you.
All the kid recommendations and big kid recommendations as well. I reckon there's going to be quite a few adults who are going to be keen to watch that Jurassic Park.
Oh, more JP is animated. Always good.
Yeah.
More dinosaurs is always a good thing.
Hmm. It kind of almost sounds a bit like it's got a bit of Jumanji remake mixed into it.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah. It could work. Some of those sort of jokes would be good. I think it's now time for our most popular and favourite segment on We Are The Watchers. It is the Tom Appreciation.
Dun, 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 Tom Appreciation segment. So this week I said I was going to find one a little bit odd. Not odd as in there, but I wanted to do one this week that makes you go, huh.
Okay.
They have been in a lot.
This is like a character actor?
I think so.
Okay.
So the person I've picked this week is Thomas Brodie Sangster, who you might go, who's that? Here's two names that I'll give for you that you instantly go, oh, yeah. So he was Jojen Reed on Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Freezes being with the Whites.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the little boy in Love, Actually.
Yep.
Here are a few more things that I didn't realize. So he's in tons. So he's been in the Maze Runner series as Newt.
I've seen him plenty there.
He's been on Thunderbirds Are Go, the Thunderbird show for the last few years. He voices John Tracy on that. Number one, Firefighter One. He was Ferb on Phineas and Ferb. I never made that connection. But here, I'd forgotten that he was in Nanny McPhee.
Yeah, that's right. He was too. But
He's the one that's going to blow minds, especially of my UK friends, because I had completely forgotten this. Viv, this is a shout out for you. He was Barney in Stig of the Dump.
What? Hang on. What
Stig of the Dump. Sorry, I said that too fast.
It was fun to try and say Stig of the Dump.
Stig of the Dump. Stig is a caveman who lives in the dump that is found in modern times, and Barney is a little boy who goes and hangs out with him, and they have adventures.
So this is animated.
No. It's like a Round the Twist. It's cool. like a mid-90s after school show.
This is before Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A couple of this is like 1993. So he's a little kid hanging out with a dude dressed as a caveman in a stinky dump.
This guy, he also has that face where you could think he's about 18.
This is the guy that looks just like my brother Cam.
Yeah, that's right.
It happens a lot. It always has. But yes, he has a very youthful face. But there are other times when you've seen him done a certain way that he can look mid-20s and stuff, he'd be 30 or something at least by now. He's quite a chameleon. Anyway, very talented voice actor.
Got a lot of time for him.
I do. And
I really liked him in Game of Thrones.
He was great.
It was a good character as well, but sorely missed.
Yeah. So I thought he was an interesting addition to the gallery of Tom.
That's a nice one.
Or Thomas's. In the
yes.
Thomas Appreciation segment.
Let's get into some watching suggestions now.
Excellent.
I reckon if you have any watching suggestions, if you've seen anything that you're like, oh, I reckon those two would quite like it, you could send us an email to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com or just like find us on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, thewatcherspod1. Just find us and...
Look, this year we're dealing with murder hornets. There's zombie wasps or something coming as well.
Yep, they were around for a while, which I read that and went, oh, that sounds about right, and then didn't bother worrying about it.
Well, I think it's time that we start up a campaign for whispering beetles. Find a beetle.
Do you whisper to them or do they whisper back?
No. You whisper into the beetle and it holds your message in the back.
Ooh.
Flutters to where it needs to go and then opens up and then
So instead of send a raven.
Yeah. Whisper into a beetle.
Oh, and then, right, if the zombie murdering hornet wasps come and attack the whispering beetles can kind of do like a rumor from.
Yeah, from Umbrella.
I heard a rumor.
But how much would it fuck up another insect if a human voice came out the butt of a beetle? The fuck? All right, you can go about your business.
Yeah, you're now the king of all animals and living beings on Earth.
Anyway, that was a weird aside. Do you want to talk about the Umbrella Academy?
Let's talk about it because it came out, was it Friday our time?
Friday 5.
Yeah, so I got to it, I don't remember when. I think I watched some of it on Saturday, Arvo. Yeah, I think I sat and watched about 3 episodes and I was like, I really enjoyed the first season, obviously, like we know, but I really enjoyed this. And we were talking about it just like texting, sort of going why we think we liked it.
Yep.
And I really liked the fact that it was the 1960s era. It sat nicely.
So there's a whole thing with superheroes. There's different ages and the 60s is, they call it the Silver Age. Hmm. But it's kind of the golden age of comic books. And it's a moment when we still had, there was purity and hope behind the heroes. You haven't got Punisher or Wolverine or anti-heroes. That sort of mentality hasn't seeped in. The world is black and white. You are good or bad. So taking characters that we already know are very conflicted and very gray, placing them in that world already added a lot of color.
Mm.
Kind of like, do you ever see that movie Pleasantville?
Yep.
Was that
Reese and Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it had that same feel of taking characters with problems we can associate with today and placing them in that world and watching the way that the goodness of that world infects them rather than them necessarily tarnishing that period.
That makes sense because when you look at characters like Vanya, who, I mean, she'd lost her memory, but she was – for her, her whole world, her whole life had only been in the 1960s. She had no memory of 2019 or whatever. She was only living in that moment, in that era. That for her was everything for, well, most of the whole season.
Yep.
And I thought it was quite interesting that there were love interests in this that came from various different places who knew various different things or didn't know various different things or learnt various different things. I thought that was a really nice way to create a different level of storytelling.
Yeah, and all of these people inadvertently ended up interacting with people very important for the time.
Yeah. Like
even Luther, the mobster he works for, is the guy that shot Harvey.
Yeah, that's right.
All this sort of stuff. So it shows that, that the butterfly effect or even Back to the Future logic of you can't not affect the past. So
yeah, and we saw sort of, Klaus doing the lines from
TLC Destiny's Child.
Yeah, don't go chasing waterfalls. And I'm like, but they didn't really go heavily into, we're from the future, we know stuff, which I really appreciated.
Agreed. Yeah. Five did a little bit, but that's the
little bit.
He's a time traveler. That's the nature of his character. Everyone else kind of just accepted that they were stuck there. And I think, Klaus being there for 3 years, he had been, but.
Yeah, that's true.
You would have to adapt and just bury and forget what life you had before.
And he was coping. Like those 3 years he'd set up, I mean, sure he was a fake guru, but like he'd set up a world, he'd set up this life for himself.
Sober.
He was successful.
He
was
sober.
Absolutely.
That's the main thing. He finally kicked his demons.
Yeah. I liked Five. I thought he continued to be exactly what you want that character to, like the way he acts, that leaning over, hands in pockets,
constantly fixing the jacket that's too small. Like he's clearly someone bigger in a small body. Like you can see he's constantly.
It's very clever.
Oh, the kid is a good actor. He's
so
about 18 now or something like that. But he used to be on like Josh and Drake or one of those teen kids shows.
Okay.
Yeah. And like has come over to this and he's playing with much older people. But
it's amazing.
He's just the mannerisms, the constant fidgeting and that. Ooh. What episode are you up to?
Se- Seven. I've watched some of it.
Is that called?
No, I finished Seven.
Is that one called The Seven Stages? Oh, I don't want to say.
Yeah, it. Just in case.
There's a nice five focused episode.
Okay.
That we it's a lot of fun.
So what do you? How do you rate this season compared to the other?
I preferred this season.
Me too.
Largely because the first season was very much a mystery box episode, and it was playing very coy with revealing things slowly. Whereas this one, they've done away with a lot of that. There's some mysteries there, but it's not the key thing, and
yeah.
It's the focus on these characters, the family element coming together, this sort of stuff. And I think at some point between, you know, in the lead up to this season when they were writing, they realized that the characters were strong enough. We didn't need the big flashy set pieces. They don't need to be fighting.
Agreed.
With physical, like they can just fight with words, and it's as powerful because we love these characters.
Mm.
There's still some great dancing. But they don't rely on as much of that cool for coolness that season one did.
Yeah, it didn't feel gimmicky.
That's right. So season one had a little bit of the, you know, dancing in different rooms, but they're all dancing together or things like that. There wasn't quite as much of that.
Mm.
The style came through in the setting, the 60s, some amazing, you know, period costume pieces and things like that. I don't know. It was just – and it's an enjoyable show.
Mm.
I was going to start Friday night and then complications meant that I didn't actually start till Sunday night. However, it's Tuesday morning and I finished. So
well done.
Thanks. You know, that's not my
game.
That's
not your
game. So I just sat there and
at all.
Got through it at all and loved it.
The only problem with doing that sort of thing for me is I have to rely so heavily on the recap. So for example, next year when we get season three, well, who knows when it'll come out, but when we get that recap at the beginning will be so important to me, but I still will have forgotten bits.
Yep.
Because you just watch it in a big vacuum.
Well, that's it. And I don't know. I think it's brilliant. Rather than doing a full recap at the beginning of every episode, if they're flashing back to something, they just flash back to that moment.
Yep.
And they're happy to reuse their old footage.
Yep.
And so few shows actually do that. They always want to recreate something from a different angle.
You don't need to. Particularly the nature of the way people are watching this show. You know, I mean, I sat there and watched three episodes in one go. And that, you know, that I will probably only watch two episodes in a go. I'm not a big binger like you, but I don't need it because I've just seen it. Yeah. If you haven't watched Umbrella Academy at all, you've now got two seasons to watch and enjoy. I think it's not just people who like superheroes. It's not about that. The story, the characters are amazing. The actors are real. They're so charming. It's charming.
I've never had a ghost make me cry.
Yeah.
But that happened.
Yeah.
The show is out there. And I don't know. I said this last year. We live in a really lucky time that superheroes have gotten that big that we can now have deconstructionist series about superheroes. So between this, Doom Patrol, and The Boys, we're very lucky, especially if you've got superhero fatigue. All of these shows hate superheroes.
And I think we were talking about this a week or two ago as well. I think when we were talking about The Boys trailer, there's shows that if you're not that into superheroes, it's a show you'd like.
Look, the Umbrella Academy, one of these episodes, has one of my favorite lines ever to describe a superhero when they're talking about Diego, who was clean cut and angry and nothing but in the first season. And in the second one, he's super shaggy and way more relaxed and very, very funny. Someone says to him, "What are you, a superhero?" And five butts in and goes, "Think Batman, but aim much lower."
That's right.
And that is such a perfect summation for what they're going for. He's the only character on that show that has any desire to be a superhero, let alone a
Lone
hero.
Wolf. Yeah.
And they relentlessly mock him for it.
Mm.
It's great.
It's a great show.
Mm.
I'm now thinking it might be worth, maybe not straight away, but it might be worth rewatching season one again.
Can't hurt.
It can't hurt.
Or you could read the comics.
Well, that's true. I could.
The comics are weirder.
Are they really?
Yeah.
In like a charming way, or is it?
Yeah.
It still has the charm. That's where the charm's from.
The charm is from there.
Okay.
And the five in the comics is meant to be about eight.
Okay. That's even better.
He's much, much, much younger.
I can understand how they didn't. They can't do that.
They can't do that because
it's too difficult.
Well, they'd get 3 months of filming and they have to recast constantly.
Yeah.
But it's really out there. And you haven't finished yet, so I can't talk about what may come for season three or things like that. But I have a reasonable idea from some comic storyline of what might be happening. We'll talk about that in a few weeks.
Yeah, that sounds really good. We should get into some other stuff that we've watched.
Sure.
Look, just really quickly, I rewatched and I hadn't seen it for years. Been on a bit of a Will Ferrell kick.
Ooh.
So I watched Blades of Glory.
Oh, nice.
It is still very funny.
Yeah?
It holds up.
So that's with John Hader, yes?
That's right, a.k.a. Napoleon Dynamite. Like, he was known as Napoleon Dynamite coming into this movie. Amy Poehler, Will Arnett playing brother and sister when really they were husband and wife at the time. There's that layer is going on and they're so funny. They're so funny. And you know how, for me, Amy Poehler's one of those people that doesn't look any different.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
she barely looks any different. She looks a bit fitter, I think, probably because she had to do a lot of ice skating. That's the only thing. I'm like, how are you in some sort of, do you go to sleep in a non-aging dome? Yeah, it's a very funny movie. And for me, it always reminds me of Australia, which is really weird because it wasn't filmed here. But my sister, a.k.a. Tidy, was working at Macquarie Ice Rink at the time of the movie's premiere. And they came out here and I think it was Will Arnett and, yeah, it was John and Will. They came out and did, like, stuff on the ice rink. So she was able to meet them. And she said that Will Arnett was one of the nicest guys.
Awesome.
He would just have a chat with all the staff and everything. So whenever I think of this movie, I always think of Australia. So odd. But there are some genuinely laugh-out-loud bits. And how old would that movie be? I'm guessing about 2004 or 6 or something.
I think 7 maybe. I don't know, somewhere around there,
yeah. A long time ago. Well,
Will Arnett and Amy Poehler are still married.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they haven't been together for quite some time. But it's the kind of era where you think, ooh, there could easily be bits in this movie that are a bit like, ooh, yikes, you know. But no, it all holds up, and the bits that are a bit yikes are intentionally yikes.
Sure.
With the whole, like, Amy Poehler, brother and sister, Will Arnett thing, that's intentional. Yeah, really good movie. Watch it again if you can. I think you'll get a giggle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Searching for felines near Melmac? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I checked out on Disney Plus. There was a new there's always a new Muppets something coming along. Yeah. They've tried plenty of stuff over the years and things. There's a new program that there's one episode out of it so far called Muppets Now. Skeeter, he's in charge of uploading content to the Muppets viral channels, and so he's asking for submissions for the other things. And it is a weird, it's kind of got the vibe of the old Muppet Show of celebs interacting or different little feature bits of them putting together a show, but they're allowed to be disjointed. They're allowed to play with the idea of being in quarantine or being separated at the moment and stuff like that. So I don't know. It feels kind of timely and it feels like good Muppets.
That's good. Because everybody's memory of childhood is obviously you go from Sesame Street and then back in the day you would watch the Muppet Show and the movies as well. And there was a real, I think we've spoken about this before, but the Muppets itself was a show that, I think about Pixar kind of movies where adults and children can watch it, but both get something very different.
Muppet Show was the first show I can remember being aware of having meta elements of it, talking to the audience, undercutting situations, making fun of things that didn't work out quite right. I can really remember just the way it would constantly undercut its own mood.
Mm.
And I think that was something that Jim Henson instilled of you've got to be humble and we're making a puppet show here. Mm. And let's keep. And that vibe is there in this of, I don't know, it's the new Kermit. I don't know the guy's name, but the Kermit.
He's been doing it for a while.
I haven't. It is noticeable. He's slightly deeper.
Okay.
So this is the first Kermit change that I've really noticed.
Interesting.
In a big way. And there's a chef segment, you know, home cooking, which is as silly as you would imagine. There's Miss Piggy starting her she's an influencer now.
Of course she is. Of course she is. That's low-hanging fruit for that character.
My favorite, like, I love the fact that whenever Miss Piggy gets brought out now for these TV shows, she's always with Deadly, who's her dresser, who's a dragon with the big
beard. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, Piggy. Yeah. And putting him on a sassy YouTube, Instagram, it just works. Of Piggy's like, now here's Moa's fashion advice, and doing all this, and you know, Deadly, what's your favorite feature about me? That would be when you leave, Piggy. And on this, really, really worked. Had me in stitches. So Disney Plus, obviously, it's very family friendly, and it's exactly what you were talking about. Of it's aimed at younger people, and Shay's going to love it. But there are so many jokes peppered through there that will go completely over kids' heads, but will have I was genuinely laughing hard at a few of these points.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think I'm going to check this one out.
It was really good, and I think they've done it in such a way that they should be able to continue pumping out content no matter what happens.
Awesome.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I finally started watching. I wanted to get a couple of seasons of Money Heist down before I started to watch Snowpiercer.
Right, yes.
So I've watched a couple of episodes, like I said, and
you're in?
I'm in. It's a little bit different to the movie, but that's awesome. That's exactly what you want. But there are still some really important key elements that, like the class system, the whole premise is sitting there taken straight from the movie. It looks amazing. It looks just as good as the movie, I reckon. There are some bits in it where you're like, oh, that's quite brutal.
Does an arm go out the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, that still bothers me. That stuck with me for a long time. I get worried about freezing.
There was that and another bit that I think was the same episode actually, where I'm like, oh, can we just move on from this now? I don't want to. It's happened, but I don't want to know any. Jennifer Connelly, amazing.
Always.
I'm so excited to see where she takes this character, not just throughout this season, but also the next.
Yep.
As we know, Sean Bean is ready, cast already for second season. So that's going to be really interesting. Tilda Swinton is obviously not in this movie, in this show. So you're kind of like, well, where's the Tilda? Because Jennifer Connelly's a completely different character. Plays different. Like, it's nothing like how Tilda played her. But there is sort of like, she's got a kind of a sidekick who has elements of Tilda. Elements, but it's a lot.
But you can't be
like, okay, who's going to be Tilda? No one. No one can be Tilda.
Maybe Bowie.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they could get the ghost of Bowie to play Tilda Swinton.
Well, if anybody's going to be able to talk him into it doing it, it would be Jennifer Connelly, because they've worked together. But Tom, I reckon this is a show you're going to like as well.
Sure.
The premise is something's happened. There's weird murders that have happened, and I have to solve it. Who's the murderer?
Who done it?
Who done it? It's a nice premise for a beginning of a season like this, because it helps people. Because obviously you've got the people who are going to watch it because it's post-apocalyptic. Like already, you've got the people who have watched a movie, really enjoyed it. They're gonna go in there. But for new audiences, to have a murder mystery sitting there, that's a really easy way to get people in. Yeah, and to continue watching. I like it so far.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Tom, I've got this quiz for you. This one, because I've been thinking about how you don't like musicals.
Yeah, I really don't.
This one.
There are rare ones that I like with some songs, but.
Yeah, some songs.
The idea of a musical can jog on.
It's not your thing.
Nah.
So this quiz is quite a long name. It's called Singers in Movies. I give you the movie name and you have to give me the singer who was in it. So not necessarily a musical.
Oh, okay. I like
this. They may not even have been seen.
I like this. My mind's already going to places. Fantastic. I'm not going to say any of them in case you bring them up.
I reckon you'll get most of them. There's one that I've thrown in there.
So are you telling me the film and then I've got to work out the singer, or you're telling me the singer and I've got to work out the film they're in?
film. I'm telling you film, you tell me singer.
All right, all right.
Let's start off easy, all right?
Okay.
Evita.
Evita?
From 1996.
Madonna's in that.
Mm-hmm. She was playing, well.
Is it with Rupert Everett? Is he in that?
They did two movies together.
They did a bit together.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I'm pretty sure her husband in it, he may have been the guy that played the sparrow in Game of Thrones.
Jonathan Pryce is who we're talking about.
I just need to double check that that's actually him, because in my head that's, he plays. Antonio Banderas is in it.
Antonio Banderas.
That's right.
Okay.
Right, let's go to the next one now.
All right.
This is another one that's not too hard. The Wiz from 1978.
Oh, that's the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that kind of Wizard of Oz thing. I could have also.
Why was that name so difficult for me to pull?
I don't know. I thought maybe you were going to try and go for someone like Diana Ross. I'm pretty sure she was in it.
Sure.
So sometimes there are a couple of different answers that are acceptable for this. That's a little clue for later on.
I haven't seen The Wiz.
I think I've seen some of it.
I don't.
Did you watch the Return to Oz?
No.
From the 80s?
No.
It was a bit scary as a kid.
I don't even like Wizard of Oz.
I don't think Return to Oz had any songs. Been a while, but it was a bit scarier.
I can't even remember if I've ever seen Wizard of Oz in
the whole
one
way through.
Sitting. Because there's little people at the beginning that scared me.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll move on. Wizard of Oz.
All right. From 1993, there was a movie called Poetic Justice. I need one singer's name.
Poetic Justice?
I'd forgotten this movie even existed. I'll give you a clue.
So this feels, is it about a teacher going to a school?
It's not Dangerous Minds.
That's what I've, but is it in that vein? Is it an iced tea? Are we talking a rapper?
There is a rapper in it.
Yeah.
He is no longer with us. But
so
he,
it's Biggie or Tupac?
It's Tupac.
Okay, it's Tupac.
With Janet Jackson. They play love interests.
Wow.
I
didn't know that was a thing.
If I've seen the movie, I don't remember anything from it, but I remember it being around. It was around, I think it was around her That's the Way Love Goes.
Okay.
Kind of era. She had the little braids. Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually intrigued to watch this. If I have seen it before, I'm intrigued to watch it again.
You can check it out and let us know.
I'll let you know. I'm going to forget.
Yeah, it's all right. I won't watch it.
Okay, great. Here's an easy one for you. Ocean's 8.
So that's the ladies one.
Mm-hmm. She played like the hacker.
Lizzo? Hustlers.
No.
She's the hacker.
She likes umbrellas.
Oh, Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna.
My head's all like Awkwafina. She's in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Rihanna. All right, she's
a
hacker.
Yeah, Awkwafina, isn't it? And technically she is a rapper, I guess, but.
Have I told you my theory with Rihanna? Every time she sings, if you listen, it sounds like she's just been prodded awake.
Okay, I'm going to have to go and listen to some of her stuff now.
She
puts a little effort in, you reckon? Or is there a lot of effort to sound like she's putting a little effort in?
That's what I mean. There's something about her voice. It's slight. She draws everything just slightly out.
Yeah, she
out
does. You're right.
And I really enjoy that about her. But she just has this. Britney gasps for air. In the nicest, like I'm not dissing her, but her style is so powerful that she punches the air out and has to suck it back in. Whereas if you listen to Rihanna, everything about her is lithe and light and she's just joined you in the room.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
I
have a real thing. I love Rihanna, but her stuff just always sounds effortlessly cool. So her being the hacker is perfect.
She was very cool in it too. Did she have dreadlocks in that?
Probably. I don't know.
Dogma, easy one.
Alanis, your favourite.
Yes.
There'd be other people in that film that have been in bands and things. Matt Damon was in a band in
Eurotrip. Yep, that's
Scotty
right.
Scotty doesn't know.
That's right. Did he shave his hair for that?
He did.
Yeah,
he
that's did. Right.
I love that movie. It's
when
so
he goes
dumb.
All out, it's phenomenal. It kind of, like when he went. Oh, I can't remember the character's name. It was a woman's name. In 30 Rock, he played the pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
Boyfriend, like Marion or something. But he committed to being that exact character. And you know it's nothing like him. Brilliant. All right, final one from 1987, Moonstruck.
Oh, my head's saying Moonwalker. That
it's a lady.
Had a Michael Jackson. Moonstruck.
Dark hair. She had a perm at this time. So
Tina Turner?
No.
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, you're...
I mean, in that world, sure.
Yeah. You were right there.
I was there. I was completing the holy trinity of big That's perms.
Right. Perfect. You got
Moonstruck,
every...
Moonstruck, sure. Is that... Is she a mermaid? Is she a fishing net or something? Or am I thinking
of
something else?
I think the poster, she's like... No, you're thinking of the movie Mermaid. Is that what it was called with Winona Ryder and with Bob Hoskins? It's not that one. Was it Mermaid? Can't remember.
Isn't there Cher as a mermaid in a movie, isn't she? Is it a mermaid Cher? A Mersher?
A Mersher?
Mersher. A
Shermaid. Has anybody seen the Mersher movie?
Why am I saying a Mershade? She has to be a Shermaid.
Oh, she is a Shermaid.
Shermaid.
Are you also just thinking... It's highly likely she's been a mermaid. I don't know.
All right.
Don't ask me the box office numbers because I've forgotten how to Leah. Google. Don't ask.
Do you know what the – just by chance. No, I'll let you off the hook this once.
So. Oh, thank you so much. We have got a really fun episode next week. Make sure you remember to download.
Bring your tissues.
Okay. Just in case. You never know. That's true. You don't know.
You'll laugh. You'll cry. It's you may
– all of the –
find yourself a situation in hand needing tissues. Who knows?
Just yeah, I think you're right. Tissues are always important. Get a little travel pack.
Get a tissue for your issues.
Yeah. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Hello.